Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Maria Menounos, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we continue through the Elite Eight of March Gradness. And now, you can't see it from where you're listening, but he's perched behind the microphone. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, don't we, Gina Grad?
We sure do.
And Bald Brian?
I don't have a penis.
I got stuff to talk about.
That's why the white interject with that.
Burger King, by the way, you can go try the Sourdough King sandwich. And MedMen, go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. Get you 10% off, $10 off, I should say, your first order. So check that out.
I feel like these sponsors have a symbiotic relationship.
They belong. Oh, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, swing by MedMen first and then go by Burger King. Boy, lots of range to cover. First things first. So you remember, we got the new Tesla X. It's the right. SUV.
With the 12-inch doors.
The kids were over the moon about it.
Yep. It's, we went for a nice long ride in Malibu over the weekend. It's very cool. It's nice. It works. It's great. Everything's fine. And everyone keeps saying to me, why did you get the white interior? And I said, because they give you a choice. You can have a black interior or you can have a white interior. And interiors matter to me. Like, I don't like the cop out in the interior department. Just, I don't like, to me, you know, just black on black and black carpet, black headliner, black blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's fine. It works. It's fine just going A to B. But if you're paying $100,000 and you want something a little different, then pick a color. But then I was lamenting that they do not offer red. Mm-hmm. Tesla, of all car companies, don't offer my favorite car interior color, which is red. And I thought, God, the white with the red would have looked spectacular in my head. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, they don't offer a red. So that will never happen. And then somebody tweeted me a picture of their white X with a red interior.
Whoa!
And I went ballistic.
Sharp.
Because it looks so goddamn good.
I took a Lyft last night, and the driver had a red interior. And it's a Toyota Camry, but it made it look really sharp. It's a sharp interior.
And this is such a betrayal to you.
It's also weird. Like here's the world I live in.
Is it aftermarket?
Yes, they put a red, put a red interior, sorry, it's still a betrayal. somebody, it's an attack, Gina,
right,
you're
sure.
Right,
yeah,
it's an attack.
You
know how you know it's an attack? I feel threatened.
You feel attacked.
If I feel threatened, then it must be an attack.
Right, sure.
If a sparrow flies over my head and I feel attacked and feel threatened, then it's an attack.
Yeah.
Because I'm living my truth
right.
Now.
Yeah, step right. In
you
your
take
truth.
It away from you.
What I'm saying is this Tesla X in white with the red interior looks killer.
Gorgeous.
Somebody did it. Some smart, mad genius did it. I have conversations. My entire life is one of these conversations. The Tesla guy's dropping the car off. He's saying, yeah, it looks good with the white interior and the white. And I go, yeah, it looks good. It would look great if they had a red interior and a white exterior. And they go, yeah, we don't offer the red. And then I go, you're Tesla. You should offer red. And by the way, when you go back to Tesla headquarters, offer it up to somebody. Feel that, free. Hey, maybe it'd be nice to have that. My entire life is basically this. Okay. And then I go, no, I'm serious. Like, when you go back to work, go tell them
it looks killer in red.
Oh, man, that's good stuff.
I can see why you're playing the Capitol Theater.
Right. One of your chestnuts.
Right. I'm like, no, somebody go get this picture off the internet of a white Tesla X with a red interior. Put it up on a wall at the Tesla headquarters and go, look, last time I checked, Honda and Toyota and BMW and Lexus, they all offer a red interior. We're Tesla.
Is this guy always on, or can he just not turn it off? I mean, come on.
Just dude, it's somebody do it. Like the amount of times I talk to people, I go, just go tell them, go out. That'd be great if it did work, but of course it'll never work. It's like, just do it. Hmm? Okay.
Good ideas.
I don't know. I would like an explanation. I really would, because to me, Tesla is half a car company and then like half a tech company, and I'm going to screw up the math, and half a sort of lifestyle company, mm-hmm. design. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you're there because you're on the vanguard of design, and that includes the textures and the color palette and everything.
Yeah, that's the overarching ethos of Tesla. It's like you're buying into a lifestyle. It says things about
you. Can get a black interior or you can get a white interior, like my old Zenith TV. Anyway, that's how good that car. You can go to AdamCarolla.com and cry. Weep openly with me when you see how good that car is. Now, somebody took like a Bentley interior or whatever, and they put some diamond quilting and all the stuff I've been talking about in it. But it's still, for our...
Oh,
for our purposes, it's simply a red interior.
Now, what's it worth to you?
It looks even better because it's diamond quilting, whatever. But it's just Toyota could do this. Just a red leather interior on a white car with some black accents.
Would you consider doing what they did?
If the car wasn't a lease and Lynette wasn't my wife.
It's a lot of ifs.
My girlfriend. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So no.
But so here's what drives me insane, I think. The part of life that drives me insane. It's like when I order the sushi and I go, give me the dynamite teriyaki roll. And I go, but don't, no sauce. And the guy makes it up and it's beautiful, ready to go. And then you see him in slow motion reach for the big plastic squirt bottle.
Drizzle.
And take the Thousand Island and just go. And I go, okay, you've ruined it. You've just turned it into a gooey mess. And
he was on autopilot, muscle memory mode. He's, this is what you do at the end of
the
roll.
Now, if you tell me, look, we have to shoot all the super corn syrup laden junk goo on top of your sushi, that's how we get rich, I would accept that. But if it costs you money to do something that I don't want or to ruin this, or if we're breaking even, if I talk to Elon Musk and he goes, I wish we could do red, but it's would add 20% to the price of each car.
The guys from China.
People just don't want to spend the money. But if in red interior, white interior, and black interior are really the same money-wise, and look, I don't know, if you order a Toyota and you want a red interior, there might be some slight bump in charge, like certain paint colors and things like that. But if you gave me the option, I'd get it. And I don't know that a red leather interior to dye leather red is any more than to dye leather white.
Sure.
So considering there is no extra anything, just disappointed customers, then no. I want to live in that world where that exists.
Yeah.
All right.
By the way, do you know why barns are red?
Oh, why are barns red?
Yeah, to your point.
Well, I don't know. Why?
Growing up in Kansas, I was told because red is the cheapest color paint for that kind of architecture.
How interesting.
Oh, well, I understand that certain things, like you'll see a lot of British cars from the late 40s and early 50s in a sort of greenish, drabish, whatever. And it's like, oh, that's military surplus.
Oh,
like a lot of stuff is just, that's what they were painting tanks and planes. And they had tons and tons of this left over after the war. So now we can paint it that color.
You're smart. I like you, honey bunch.
Red paint cheaper than white paint?
That's
what I
was
more,
told.
Maybe last longer, more durable or something like that. All right. Speaking of that, but not speaking of anything at all, I had a thought about hair and my hair and indigenous plant life.
Brian, take your headphones off.
I was going to say, I'll show myself out.
And I thought red paint is cheap.
There it is.
So says Chris Maxipata.
Yeah, it says because it's made of red ochre, which is just iron and oxygen. So it's just easiest to make that color. Yeah.
Tell now, that to Elon.
Yeah, now they're really out of excuses.
I have no excuse.
All right. I had this sort of metaphor hair thought thing. You guys have heard my hair stories before of starting off with straight hair and then having it go curly and then trying to force it into a shape it didn't want to comply with. And then later on going, walking down to the supercuts and have her basically give me a permanent without ever getting out any rollers, just cutting it short, getting it wet, doing that weird
shaking
double
it,
hand thing.
Hustle it.
I like the double hand thing they do where they just give you the fingers and they tussle your hair a little bit. And then she said, like, don't touch it and walk home. And it was, you know, summertime and 2 miles from my house. And I walked home. By the time I got home, I had to look like Greg Brady in the later years of the Brady Bunch. And I started thinking, yeah, I was forcing my hair into a shape it didn't want to go into. And it was fighting me. Mm-hmm. And then once it got into the shape it was supposed to be in, it never really fought me again. It just is what it is. And then I took that approach to landscaping. I used to have a house where it had a lawn. I was constantly trying to get the lawn to work.
It every morning.
Yeah.
Just
run your fingers
trying
through
to
it.
And we're not living in a place where lawns work. They just don't. And also, you see it along the side of the freeway in Los Angeles, where we're trying to cultivate something that isn't cultivatable, or certainly not by us. Look, maybe if we were Japanese, maybe if we were elderly, and maybe if we gave a shit, we could work this out.
But
we're none of the above. Turns out we're white, and we're super lazy, and we're middle-aged, and it ain't going to work. Now, when you go to Vegas, you go to Phoenix, you understand that they understand what their hair should be like. Mm-hmm. And they're not trying to get a hot comb and mat it down or feather it. They're going, here's where we live.
They're going with the natural.
They're going with the natural. And when I started doing that in front of my house, you go to the other shop, you see the rocks and the cactus. This stuff just flourishes. So when you actually take your hair or your cactus or whatever the natural, whatever
the
your
native
environment, whatever the native species calls for, when you actually get out of the way and let it in, it flourishes with zero aggravation and zero maintenance. Like, I literally at that other shop in front of my house, in front of all my houses, throw down the gravel, throw down the cacti, and walk away. Mm. No watering, no drip line, no irrigation, and no weeds, because there is no watering and no drip line and no irrigation. None of the things springing a leak and spraying all over the side of the building or all over the side of the car or paint bubbling on the side, on the siding of the house because it's been damaged by the sprinkler, the hose, or whatever. Just that natural environment thing, whether it's your hair or the plants in front of your house or business, give it some thought. Like, think about where there's a version of this that works for almost everything in your life.
Whether it's your hair or your plant or your lawn or whatever, your landscaping, it needs the least amount of you.
Yeah.
So don't get in the way.
And there's just a sort of a natural, there's also just a kind of a natural direction and a natural shape and a natural everything. And your job as a human is to try to kind of figure that out and not have a lifetime toiling with your hair or toiling with your lawn.
Fighting with it.
Yep.
Yes.
So where do you guys stand on palm trees? Because from what I understand, they're not supposed to be here. And there
on
was
your head? That's a terrible idea, Gina.
There was supposed to be a huge movement to not only get rid of them, but to certainly stop planting more. Because we're, a Mediterranean climate? We're not supposed to have palm trees.
Interesting. I don't know. I see so many of them, I have no idea.
Yeah, because that was sort of the branding, I think, of Los Angeles.
Whatever works without me, and I include raising my kids, whatever works without me burning a calorie.
Get out of the way.
That's what I'm 100% for. All right. Now jumping around to even more more subjects. Mm-hmm. So I think there was a police shooting in Sacramento. Max Pata has it.
Yes, it was March 18th. Stephon Clark shot by some cops.
White, black officers shoot unarmed black man who they think has a gun. Not sure. It's got to be weird. It'd be weird being a cop because everything looks like a gun. Mm. Like, what happens when you go home? Like, hey, pass the baked beans, honey. And she starts reaching out and he pulls out a Glock. Like, drop him.
Reach for the sky.
Every cell phone, every comb, every hoagie sandwich, anything with foil. Like,
portable hair dryer.
He thought he had a gun. Like, it's got to be rough for his wife every time she reaches for a hair dryer or the keys or the TV remote. Yeah. Start hand him the universal remote or something. You know that move where you hold the remote up and you try pointing it at a weird angle?
Don't do that.
Don't do that when you live with a cop. Now, they always shoot way more than they need to because there's an adrenaline thing. The adrenaline thing just sort of snaps and they just unload. And there's always that thing of like, why did you have to shoot the guy 19 times? It's like, I didn't have to shoot the guy. An adrenaline surge kicked in and I squeezed the trigger that many times. As a matter of fact, I don't remember shooting him that many times. I would kind of argue that in the training, they should work on firing once and then sort of counting to three Mississippi and see how that works. Yeah. I had a weird, I had a metaphor. I think you guys might like this, but it was off the subject. But think about this. I realized that I was living a fairly enjoyable life, but I would be triggered. And I would be triggered by things. And when I'd be triggered by these things, it was making me unhappy and not lead as enjoyable a life as I would like.
Okay.
And I think we're all a little bit guilty of being triggered by things.
You get mired in those things. All of a sudden, you're like, you're dealing with it. You're responding to someone or you're getting involved emotionally. And it's like, wait, why is this? Why am I getting so
emotions get hijacked?
Yeah, and I would find myself being triggered pretty easily. Like I'd just be at home on a Saturday, and the kids and the wife and the whatever, and they'd come home and they'd have a bag of like In-N-Out, and I'd go, "Oh, you got In-N-Out?" And they go, "Oh, did you want something to eat?" And I go, "Yeah, like an In-N-Out." They go, "Oh, we didn't know you wanted lunch," and I'd be triggered. Like I just immediately just triggered. Like what? You didn't think of me? You didn't call? I go, what the fuck? I'm paying for the burgers. How about it? And there's usually something about, there can be a thought you did, or I thought you were going to be out. You said you're going to be at the shop, or you didn't know you'd be home, or whatever. But there's the trigger. Mm-hmm. And if you can prevent yourself from the trigger, it's a much better life.
Yeah. Easier said than done.
Think about it when you're driving along the freeway and someone cuts you off. It's like, hand out, F you, screw you, trigger. Trigger, immediate trigger. What if you just counted to five Mississippi after you were cut off? There would be no reaction.
This is a great plan because I literally screamed to myself alone in the car today on the way to work no more than half an hour ago. I was behind someone who was going super slow. I was boxed in by two whatever trucks or whatever. And I'm yelling. I'm like, why are we going 50 miles an hour on the freeway? And I realize I'm yelling to myself. I'm an insane person. But I was triggered because I'm like, oh, there's no reason to be going 50 miles an hour on an open freeway.
And I realize if you...
counting to five would have been better.
If you live with people... you can be triggered all day, every day.
Can you?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Very easily. Especially depending on who you're living with. But very easy with my family to be triggered. And I realize that if you stop reacting to the trigger, you'll have a much happier life. And the amount of time you have to wait, it's not half a day or not a quick call to the therapist. It's about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
You have to get over that initial sort of, how come no one asked me? Or, what about me? Or, how no one went up? Or, oh, I would appreciate a phone call. Or, just this, this sort of trigger thing. You literally count to about 5 seconds, and then it just kind of goes away. Wow. It doesn't go away. 80% of it is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're left with a little weird aftertaste in your mouth, but not I need to react. Right. You need to react.
You start responding instead of reacting.
Wow.
I put together this metaphor. I think you'll like it. I said, picture you're standing there, and a fly lands on your nose. Ryan's doing something.
Hold on.
Is he doing the trigger sound?
Give it some flavor.
A fly lands on your nose, Ryan. If you can go 5 seconds without swatting at it, the fly will be gone.
Yeah.
And picture two pies in both hands. Because when you go for it, when that fly lands on your nose and you go for it, you almost never, you'll never kill the fly. You smack yourself in the face with a pie.
There's some Buddhist shit right here, man.
Wow.
It, you,
who are you?
You don't get the fly. Do you ever get the fly?
Never.
No. You'll never get the fly. But what you do is you hit yourself in the face.
Yep. Pie to the face.
And the fly's just there momentarily, then the fly's gone. I don't even know what the actual setting time of a fly is, but it's got to be less than 5 seconds, especially on a human being's nose. And if you can refrain from movement for that 5 seconds, the fly will fly away.
Very smart.
And you will not get a pie in the face
in
that you
face.
Put in your own face.
Yeah.
I, that makes me think of, I had a cousin who had ALS, and he wrote, he couldn't speak, of course, but he wrote with his eye thing that, you know, he would get an itch, or there'd be a fly or something would be driving him nuts on his hand or his face or whatever. And he couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't even tell anyone about it. And he just had to kind of deal with it. And every time I have a little something that's bothering me, I'm like, my cousin could deal with this for, you know, with goddamn ALS. It was certainly we could. It's akin to your, you know, just let it go. You know, ride it out. It's going to be okay.
Yeah, and this is so interesting. It's almost like you've taken meditation class, though I'm pretty sure you haven't.
That's
because
right.
Because they talk about, like, when you meditate, if you have an itch or if you have to move, all that is in that moment is drama. Mm. You are creating drama. So you just need to sit still and do your thing and don't add drama to the situation.
I got to tell you, try not being triggered, try not reacting, try the 5 second fly on the nose. Just 5 seconds. Not 2 weeks, just 5 seconds. Just try it and see how much happier you and those around you get. Sam Del Canto is on line two. Sam?
Hey.
Sam and I are going to be in Toronto at the Toronto Real Estate Wealth Expo. That is next Saturday, April 7th. Speeches.
That's right.
Wait a minute. Sly Stallone is going out there without me?
No, that's why. We're going to have you and Sly and Pitbull and A-Rod and a whole bunch of other A-listers.
A whole bunch of other A-listers. So A-Rod is going to speak. Stallone I went out with last time we did one of these, but I think you guys figured out he didn't need me. I was just kind of training wheels, but he took off. He was a bird that soared without mama buzzard buzzing around. He's a natural,
he
wasn't he?
You led the way.
And tickets are available at realestatewealthexpo.com. Yeah, I'm going to be out in Madison, Wisconsin at the Capitol Theater. That'll be on Friday, and then heading out to Toronto to come see Sam and all our friends over there.
And you're going to be talking about podcasting.
I shall be. It is the easiest afternoon ever for me because I get to talk about what I know and what I love. And Sly, now, Stallone, last time we did it together, he was speaking about success, but it wasn't necessarily like wealth, real estate. It was just sort of a general like ethos. Is that sound about right?
You know, his philosophy, his rules for living, and it's basically a very motivational talk to give you that, you know, kick in the pants to go out and do whatever your dream is.
What's has A-Rod worked with you guys before?
No, this is the first time.
He seems pretty bright, pretty articulate. Do you help craft what he's going to say? I don't mean put words in his mouth, but I mean sort of go, here's some good beats to focus on, or how does that relationship work?
We kind of tell him who the audience is, what they're looking for. Obviously, he's been on Shark Tank recently, and I think he has another television show where he helps business owners. So he's going to be focusing on, again, success lessons, things from Shark Tank, and answering a lot of questions, and obviously how to succeed in life.
You know, it's kind of nice. I'm glad we're living in a time when people are having open conversations about being entrepreneurs that conversations I never heard my entire young life about, you know, my whole life is like, hey, man, you got to get a job. You got to fight to keep it, man. I mean, you know, life's a bitch. Yeah. You know, you work hard and then you die. Like, hey, but the weekend's coming up. We can always go to the lake. Sure. Like, there was never any discussion starting a business, what you want to do. Yeah. You know,
they do not teach you that in school.
It's weird that this country, like, I get it if they don't teach you that in school in Cuba, but this country was basically founded on a whole bunch of people just coming here going, I don't want to be oppressed by the government or religion or whatever. I want to do my own thing.
It's a land of opportunity.
Right. Yeah. And then we have a school, and in my school, I'm in a home ec class making Pillsbury Parmesan popovers all day long and sewing pillowcases. Like, I'm learning nothing about a business or entrepreneurship whatsoever. Why is that? No. Do you have any thoughts about that, Sam?
I just think, you know, school is kind of, you know, by rote, and it's common things, and it's not really life preparation. It's just, you know, repeating facts and figures that you've memorized. And I think when you get out there and you've graduated, you really don't know how to start a business or how to be entrepreneurial or have any sort of business skills, really.
Well, you know, my thought about it is a little more nefarious and definitely more insulting to any of the teachers that are listening, which is if the school was ran by and taught by A-Rod and Pitbull and Sylvester Stallone.
A lot more fun.
And myself, there'd be a lot of discussion about entrepreneurism.
Yeah, being a self-starter.
It's run by a bunch of losers who've dropped out of life and made a deal with the devil, which is you give me $52,000 for the rest of my life and I'll never work a weekend.
I'm in, you got me.
So, and now these people are working on the curriculum. Like,
shaping young minds.
Guess what? My kid's school, there's no football. You want to know why there's no football? Because it's run by a bunch of middle-aged women and a bunch of dudes who think like middle-aged women, who thus know football. Of course. So what would a school be like if it was just ran by a bunch of New England Patriots fans? It'd be nonstop Tom Brady and Bill Belichick talk, and you'd go, oh, what about the Steelers? Oh, forget about them. Like, what would anything be if it was just run by a bunch of people? You can't find a group of people that are less interested in the entrepreneurial lifestyle than teachers, especially LA Unified, join the union, deal with the devil, pay me for the rest of my life, and now I'm going to teach your kids nothing except for stuff I know. And by the way, I don't want to shame myself by teaching them a bunch of stuff that I never had the guts to do.
This kind of positive, motivational, uplifting stuff to be heard in Toronto.
Well, it's true, goddammit. I mean, it's just true.
I think people are searching for this kind of stuff. And you know, you're teaching podcasting there. So anybody who wants to learn about podcasting is going to come and see you. Where else could they learn this?
Yeah, I agree. And now, is Stallone going to give me the high hat when I see him backstage?
Is he going to big time you?
Is he going to big time me?
He has keys.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're coming backstage, and we're all there.
Is he going to Stevie Nicks you and hand you his sunglasses?
Yeah, long story, but yeah. Or is he going to, am I going to run into, like, are you going to be wearing a headset, Sam? And I'm going to go, can I say hi to Sly? And you go, it's not a good time. Is that going to happen?
You're right back there hanging out with him.
That's not a no.
Last time I was there, I was literally looking at his phone, and I was helping him cast Creed 2. Wow.
Damn.
That's right.
There you go.
There you go.
Casting by. All right. That is the Toronto Real Estate Wealth Expo. That is next Saturday. That is April 7th. That is Sly and me and A-Rod and Pitbull, and we'll all be there. Tickets available at realestatewealthexpo.com. Sam, let's make sure and hug it out for a little bit longer than we're both comfortable with, yeah?
We'll see you there.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take that as a yes. Listen, I don't know if you're married, but, you know, we're not even in the United States anymore at this point.
Sure. So. International
up there, right?
Yeah. International waters, baby. And make sure there's a bunch of stuff in Sly's dressing room for Mike August to eat.
We've got pizzas coming for you.
Oh, he loves it.
Now he's on his way.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, guys. See you soon.
And you can get the masterclass I did with these guys at CorollaClass.com. Oh, what should I ask A-Rod? I don't have any A-Rod questions.
No A-Rod questions? I mean, he's a Hall of Fame. Well, He's not in the Hall of Fame. He's Hall of Fame caliber baseball players, keeping him out because of some PED troubles.
Maybe some.
Don't mention that.
Maybe some J. Oh, this is another one not to mention. Maybe some J-Rod questions with J-Lo.
That's right. He's dating J-Lo, right?
J-Rod.
Yeah. J-Rod. I forgot about that. Okay. Let's see. Maria Menounos is here. Shots fired. Yeah. Will you figure out the Sacramento Popo thing? Tell you guys first about Burger King, new sourdough king. Oh, Dawson, get poised, buddy.
I'm ready.
Dawson comes in two-fisted with Burger King.
Only way to do it.
He's got the Whopper and the Chicken Club. Maybe Chicken Parm. Can't remember.
Sometimes double chicken, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, sometimes I go that way.
Wow, Dawson.
He's unbridled.
He's a Kaiser Soze of sandwiches.
It's like that. He was gone.
Well, the big question is the new sourdough king from Burger King. Is it a burger? Is it a sandwich? Two flame grilled patties. So it's a burger served on the toasted sourdough bun. So it could be a sandwich. I don't know. One way to find out, man. It is good. Over half a pound of flame-grilled beef on a toasted sourdough bun, melted American cheese, and crispy bacon. Burger or sandwich, you decide for yourself. Try the new Sourdough King only at Burger King Dawson.
Limited time only at participating restaurants based on pre-cooked patty weight.
All right. Let's see. So Maria's here. Somebody's got a phone call. Did you find out anything about... let's see. Okay. Yes. I'll tell you guys about that in a second. First, Mike, 31. Mike?
Ace man, get it on.
Get it on, man. What's going on?
Hey, quick side note. I just want to say I'm kind of disappointed in you with Brian during March Granitness. I got classified as the backwards hat loose jewelry guy.
Oh, no.
So,
I don't remember that.
Yeah, pretty upset about it.
It's not even memorable.
I know.
No, I have to see a picture. I know.
Mike, we're so sorry.
There were 32 people to begin with, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've definitely made the wrong choice.
Sorry, Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
No, all right. So just wanted to get your advice on this. So I went out camping.
Oh, yeah, we got you.
There's a cute picture of us. Guy. Yeah, Mike's a cute
guy. Wait a minute. You had a ring on your wedding finger.
Is that true.
Correct?
That's correct, yeah.
How does that work?
That's potentially disqualifying.
I would have left the wife for Gina Gravano.
I get it.
And he's back in.
He's back in. All right,
I went and got the divorce papers and everything. It was ready.
It looks like we had a drink together. It looked like we had a lot of fun.
Sorry.
We did.
So you were saying.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so yeah, just some advice. I got, I went out camping out at the lake this weekend and got set up, started drinking some beer, and then we had the park ranger come over. Noticed that I was drinking from a glass bottle and told me that glass bottles were not allowed there. So I'm assuming he's just going to confiscate my beer and then, which, whatever, no biggie. There's a store that isn't too far. I could just go pick up some cans. But he confiscates about $150 worth of beer and then writes me a $130 ticket.
Damn.
So now when there's a spot that you pay to go camping. You pay $20. And the lady didn't say anything about glass bottles. And then as we were leaving, we stopped there at the booth to see if there were any signs that said anything about glass bottles. And there wasn't a single one. So I was just curious on if I should fight this ticket or not.
I would fight it. I would fight every ticket of every ilk on the beach, any of this stuff. And I would also just not pay it. I know I'm rich, so who cares? But I'm tired of it. It's the only thing we can do. Look. Let me explain something about how this country works. You are now a sucker if you pay these goddamn fines and these goddamn tickets. Because, listen, you tell me what's more egregious. A guy by the lake drinking Strohs in a glass bottle and not paying a fine, or somebody just buying a tent and pitching it on any sidewalk in any park and in front of the governor's house and wherever they want and literally just living in the street. In terms of, like, what's more egregious? Is it going 10 miles an hour over the posted speed limit or rolling through a four-way stop sign or living outdoors and never paying taxes. So now that we've set a precedent that we may just live wherever we like, you go down to Big Five, go get a tent, head down to the LA River, the Wash, or go to any nearby sidewalk. I would suggest Santa Monica. The climate is nice over there. Find a piece of parkland. Now, mind you, if you're drinking beer out of a glass bottle or not at that park, you will get a citation. And if you're throwing the football at that park, you may get a citation. And if you're smoking at that park, you may get a citation. But if you're merely living and defecating and not paying taxes in the park, well, then go ahead.
If your dog's off its leash or extension cord, you'll get a fine.
Right. Yep. Right. But, well, if it's off the extension cord, you won't get a fine because you have no bank account. Exactly. Right. So now that we've set this precedent that you may go to any park you like and live there, but you'll get a ticket if you crack a beer, well, then you'd be a sucker to pay when they hit you with the fine for the beer. So what I would suggest to all the taxpayers is just go fuck it. Fuck it. Everyone's fucking living everywhere. Everyone's shitting everywhere. Everyone's doing whatever they want to do. We pull over people. They have no license. They have no proof of insurance. They have no anything. They just let them go. We don't confiscate their cars. We don't do anything to them. Why should they get all the benefits? And they don't pay any taxes. Yeah. So, hey, taxpayers, unite. I'm done. I've got parking tickets on cars and stuff. I don't pay it anymore. I don't pay it anymore. Just fuck it. Fight it or don't pay it or just don't do it. And let's do it in mass. Because here's the answer. How are you going to get rid of all the homeless? How are you going to get rid of all the illegals? How are you going to get rid of all the, what about all the illegals you pull over? They don't have proof of insurance. They don't have a license or anything. What's the answer? There's nothing we can do. It's overwhelming. We can't enforce this. Guess what? No one ever paid a parking ticket. If no one ever paid a moving violation, guess what would be unenforceable? Guess who could never collect on that? Guess who could never be punished for that? They gave out 5,000 parking tickets in the time I went on this rant. They gave out 250 moving violations in the city of Burbank and Glendale since I started this rant. So everyone just stop. Because here's the deal. We had a deal with the government. The deal was we will pay our tickets. We will pay our parking tickets. We will pay our chicken shit moving violations. And in turn, you take care of the homeless population and take care of all the toilets strewn about on the street behind me. You have welched on that bet. Mm-hmm. You are the one who's decided we're not going to keep up our end of the bargain.
You're in breach.
Which is fine. You stop picking up the garbage, we'll stop paying our taxes.
Deal's over.
We didn't stop paying our taxes, and then you stop picking up the garbage. You stop doing what you were going to do, and now we have this insane thing, which is, hey, small group of taxpayers, you guys, you dot every I, you cross every T, you do everything by the letter of the law. You folks, you can go ahead and start a village wherever you like. No taxes being paid and defecate in the mouth of special needs kids. It does not matter. You do what you want. You folks, you pay your taxes a second late, you're going to be fine. So my feeling is we are suckers for doing this. I, for one, not going to pay any more tickets. I get a ticket, I'm just not going to pay. We'll see what happens. I don't think they can afford. They're too chaotic. Our city, at least, is way. Look, if you're calling, if you're in Wilmington, South Carolina, south,
Wilmington, Delaware,
Bloomington, maybe
Bloomington, Carolina, one of the Carolinas, pay your tickets. They probably have the shit to go there. I mean, they're going to figure it out. Los Angeles, I don't think they're going to figure it out. Mm. I think we're too chaotic.
Yeah. What if Met Mike was like the flashpoint, which everyone rallied? He was the guy that tipped it.
Tip it, Mike.
Tip it, Mike.
Flashpoint, Mike.
Tip it.
Yeah. It'll be like a Kevin Costner movie from the early 90s where you were the regular guy who didn't pay your fine for the beer. So no, fight it and then don't pay it and never pay it. There you go. All right. Dawson, you with me?
I am with you 100%. I do want to let you know that, as you know, the city of Los Angeles will work their asses off to get money from you any way they can. I just got a letter from Mayor Garcetti. Since I bought a house in North Hollywood.
Welcoming you to the neighborhood.
And I run a business. No, telling me that I will be shortly receiving a tax bill for 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2016 for the city of Los Angeles for running my business, which is exempt under the Creative Artists Clause of L.A., up to $300,000. You don't have to pay taxes. But I already went through this with the city years ago.
Yeah, they caught up to me, too.
I lived in Burbank before that. Burbank never tried to get a dime out of me because they get it all in the crosswalks. But L.A. right away, yep. Garcetti on it.
Yep, I got that too.
Meanwhile, there's seven homeless encampments popped up within 3 miles of my house.
Yeah, well, look, I'm just saying, folks, if they're not going to hold up their end of the bargain, we should start backing off our end of the bargain. You'd be a sucker to pay when you're not getting the service. You know, you go to a restaurant, you wait an hour and a half for your meal, and it shows up cold. How much tipping do you do?
Like,
would you sit there and just go, hey, pay the bill in full, 20%. That's it. And you'd be like, no, I had a horrible experience.
You're at a restaurant.
I didn't get what I asked for. Like, doesn't matter.
You pay.
All right. All right. Let me tell you about, put myself in a better mood. MedMen, man. Oh, if you live in California, Nevada, it's exciting times. MedMen. Redefining the cannabis industry and empowering people to exercise their right to purchase cannabis. Premium shopping experience. All MedMen stores feature a wide range of products with a knowledgeable and approachable staff. Find out what's best for you. You should check it out. At least go online and take a look at it. It looks like a Apple store.
It's right? Great. I was there last week, and I plan on going back soon.
Open for both recreational and medical users. Anyone over 21 with a valid ID is welcome, providing the highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying like you do at some of these dicey places. This is the next step. This is the evolution. You can check it out. They have 8 locations, Los Angeles, Orange County, San Diego, Vegas, or you just hop online, medmen.com. Find the nearest store, MEDMEN.com. You go in there and you tell them what kind of experience you're looking for. Maybe you want to relax, maybe you want to have a little trouble sleeping, maybe going to a concert, want to have a little better time. Make sure you told them the Adam Carolla Show sent you and get $10 off your order. Dawson.
Exclusively for our listeners, visit MedMen and tell them you heard about it on the Adam Carolla Show. For $10 off your order, limit 1 per customer. Terms and conditions may apply. Check out MedMen today.
All right, Max Pettit, remind me to get into that whole shots fired thing,
sure thing.
Tomorrow. Maria Menounos is here. We love Maria Menounos. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Have a little good sport. I'm back with Maria Menounos right after this.
Good sport. It's time for a sports segment. Good sport. It's time for Ace and Dave. Good sport. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to the newest episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there imploring you. Go ahead. Subscribe. Check out the Dave Damashek football program. Great stuff even here in the offseason. As we call it, the offseason is Damashek season. So check that out. And meantime, let's kibitz about the world of sports. And Ace, we've been trying the last couple of days, but we had a fascinating detour into the brain, the psyche of Adam Carolla. Let's get back to the college fight songs, though, shall we? I think it's time, you know, before March Madness wraps up and we head into a summer of irrelevant college sports. I think we should tackle this here now. Give us Gary, if you would, behind the glass. Play USC's fight song for anyone who doesn't know. I love that sound.
It just... Yes.
Bam, 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 bam. There's something about fight songs. I'd make fun of the people in the band just because they seem to care 1,000 times more than the next non-band member cares about the deeds of the band. And yet, as I say that, I also say college football is defined by that sound. It breaks. Mm-hmm. I like college football. I might even say, if I set aside my rooting interests, my favorite aesthetic is college football in October under those steel gray skies. And I think a lot of it is owed to these fight songs.
I agree. I like them, and it's probably the last the last bastion, I should say, probably the last part of our society which has not been corrupted by DJ Khaled coming in and putting a beat behind it or whatever. It just is. It is as it was 75 years ago, as it is today. And everything else is updated and tweaked. You know, the uniforms are all out the window now because everyone is putting on a new set of threads every weekend and everything like that. And as we talked about in previous Good Sports, you know, knowing the starting lineup of the Dodgers infield was just part of my childhood. Like, well, Ron Say is over at third, and Russell's over at shortstop, and Lopes is over at second, and Garvey's at first, and Yeager's behind the plate. I didn't even like baseball. It was just a part of my childhood, and I think we like that stability. It's all out of the window now. There's free agency and trading every year, and people are coming and going, and everything's being updated, and everything's being sampled. That never gets updated, and it always remains the same.
You're so right, yes, and it's not precious, at least in my book. It's not just for nostalgia's sake. There's something I think it's because it's that drum. It's that big circle drum that the one guy hits with the big giant drumsticks. That it literally physically, no matter if there are 70,000 people there, it does physically make you reverberate a little bit. And I think that's part of it. Let's plow on, though. I want to just get the other ones out here. Play us Michigan, if you would. I think we started to hear it there, Gary. Oh, you know what? Yeah, go ahead and play it. I think this is number one, probably, for me. But I'm going to let Ace do his evaluation. Da, 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 da. Hail to the conquering hero. Love to the... I once, side note, hail to Michigan. I once talked to your... You, it drives you crazy as it does me, like that there's a girl named Amy, and you say, hey, is that song Amy your favorite song, and they don't know that there's a song named Amy?
Yes.
That makes me crazy.
Yes.
I once talked to Hugh Jackman, a.k.a. Wolverine, and I said, hey, let's sing the Michigan fight song. He's like, I've never heard it before. I said, you're Wolverine, man. You don't know Wolverine. You don't know the Michigan fight song?
The Wolverines, yeah.
I taught it to him. It was one of the great treats of my professional career. We sang a song with it. He did it in his Australian accent. Hey, well, teach it to me, mate. Was that a... I don't know if that was an Australian accent.
That's a 10.
Thank you. Let's rank them so far here. We have a couple more.
Mm-hmm.
USC, Michigan, Wisconsin, Ace. What's your order so far?
USC, Michigan, Wisconsin. Let's see. We heard Michigan. We heard USC. Did we hear Wisconsin
yet? Yeah, we heard that on Monday, way back when. On Wisconsin.
I got to go. Here's my thing with I got Wisconsin and on the podium, but with the bronze.
Okay.
Now, Michigan is possibly the best, but understand. Dan, I grew up out here, and I played for the East Valley Trojans, and we just had the Trojan uniforms. I would argue...
I frown on that move, by the way. Shame the devil. Have some creativity, high schools across the world.
No, this was junior. This was Pee Wee. This is Pop Warner. And I got to tell you, when you play for a team like in Little League Baseball, you want to be the Oakland A's, and you want to be the New York Yankees. You want the same uniform.
That's
now,
so true.
Later on... I played for the Sun Valley Falcons, and the Sun Valley Falcons were just blue and gold and said Falcons on the helmet, but didn't resemble the NFL Sun Valley, NFL Atlanta Falcons, obviously. And it's kind of weird as a kid. You want that jersey.
Yeah, now, but a lot of teams do that. They do the Rams horns, but then they just do them in different colors. Like, that's fraudulent. That's somebody else's logo, man.
What you want to do is you want... We had the Valley Dolphins, and their uniforms looked like the Dolphins, the Miami Dolphins, and it was cool. They had a cool ours, and then it was weird now because we were the East Valley Trojans. Now we got a college team playing a pro team, which is a little confusing, but either way, I started when I was 7, so it was cool to have the Trojan stickers and the jerseys, and we had the exact same uniforms. So I was always, of course, a big Trojans fan because I was the East Valley Trojan, but Michigan is very strong, and I would say this, Gary, you're going to have to do your homework. I will give a nod to whichever song is older. I'm assuming that's Michigan. But whoever got there first in a game of great fight songs, whoever was there first, I will grandfather in.
That's probably, you know what? Yes, not unlike, well, the Rams started the whole business in the NFL of decorating your helmet. They are the first pro team, unless I'm mistaken, I'm almost sure I'm right, that they're the first ones to paint the horns on there, and then the Eagles did their wings, and it went from there. Michigan, I'm pretty sure, is the first team.
Turn your mic off, Gary.
I think Michigan's the first team to put the... That thing's supposed to be a... those helmets are awesome, even though I have no idea what that's supposed to be.
I don't know what it is, but it's one of the best.
I guess Wolverine ears, I guess. I don't know what a real Wolverine even looks like.
I don't... I'm sure... It's going to be one of those things where you could look it up and then you'd be disappointed.
Yes, I'm pretty sure it's like rodenty. I think it looks like a honey badger, in other words.
I don't know that it's meant to be after anything other than... Like car racing stripes.
I want you to hear
Michigan,
this real quick.
Michigan, 1898. And SC, 1922.
Well, there you go. Michigan it is. Play real quick, Gary. I want Ace to hear this. This is a newfangled 21st century, I believe, came out in the last 10, 15 years. Oklahoma State, to try and break through exactly what you're saying, zigging while the rest of the world zags. Instead of doing a more tepid version of the Fighting Irish fight song or Michigan's or otherwise, they said, let's just create a whole new kind of different genre fight song. This is legitimate, Ace. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen to this. This is called, I think, We Are Cowboys Forever. And they wanted this to be their fight song. And I don't think the fan base embraced it that much. Take a listen. This is real, by the way. I'm not mad. This seems too ridiculous. The prairie wind touches our skin. Another mountain. What the hell is happening? Wild west eyes rise before the sun. We are young guns on the run. Young guns reference.
Yeah, great sky. Emilio Estevez.
There you go. Chaz Sheen gets gunned down in the middle of it. Outside the outhouse.
You know, but here's here's the thing about this. It can't work.
Of course not.
But it's not that this is horrible. It's that it can't work.
Running out onto the field for this doesn't
can't
do
work.
It.
You need a fight song. This is not a fight song.
This kicking
would never work.
After a touchdown, the other team starts laughing.
Yeah.
I guess that would have a certain impact. All right, there you go. So, and we didn't listen to Notre Dame's, but I do hear Ace on his Michigan vote. I agree. I think that's the gold standard. All right, one more episode of Good Sports to go this week. We'll have that for you tomorrow, Friday. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Podcast One Sports, Good Sports, Damashek out.
Hey man, Burger King, they have a new Sourdough King. I got a question for you. The Sourdough King from Burger King. Is it a burger? Is it a sandwich? Flame grilled patties. Two of them. Two flame grilled patties. So it's a burger, but it's served on a toasted sourdough bun. So could it be a sandwich? I don't know. It's a Burger King sandwich. It's a Burger King burger, but it is good. Over half a pound of flame grilled beef on a toasted sourdough bun, melted American cheese, and crispy bacon. My mouth is watering. So, burger or sandwich? You decide for yourself. Try the new Sourdough King. That's the new Sourdough King, only at Burger King. That's right. Burger King. Sourdough King. Dawson.
Limited time only at participating restaurants based on pre-cooked patty weight.
All right. Make sure and download the second half of the show, and we shall continue.